Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 4, The Atrocities of King Kamsa, text number 10, 11, 12, and I think 13. Yeah. So we'll just read the... I'll just read this one myself, and then we'll read 13 together, since that's the one with the purport. Divya Shrug Ambaralepa Ratna Bharang Bhushita Nanu Sulesu Chamasi Shankar Chakra Gadhadura Siddha Charana Gandharver Apsara Kinaro Ragai Upavritoru Balibi Stuyamain Nedham Abravit. Translation: the goddess Durga was decorated with flower garlands, smeared with sandalwood pulp, and dressed with excellent garments and ornaments made of valuable jewels. Holding in her hands a bow, a trident, arrows, a shield, a sword, a conch shell, a disc, and a club, and being praised by celestial beings like Apsaras, Kinaras, Uragas, Siddhas, Charanas, and Gandharvas, who worshipped her with all kinds of presentations, she spoke as follows. Kimaya hataya mando jata kalu tavantukrit yatrukva va purva satur mahimsi. Translation: O Kamsa, you fool! What will be the use of killing me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has been your enemy from the very beginning and who will certainly kill you, has already taken his birth somewhere else. Therefore, do not unnecessarily kill other children. Now today's text. Iti Prabhasya Tam Devi Maya Bhagavati Bhuvi Bahu Nama Niketeshu Bahu Nama Babhuva Ha. Iti prabhasya tam devi maya bhagavati bhuvi bahu nama niketeshu bahu nama bahuvaha. Iti prabhasya tam devi maya bhagavati bhuvi bahu nama niketeshu bahu nama bahuvaha. Iti prabhasya tam devi maya bhagavati bhuvi bahu nama niketeshu bahu nama bahuvaha. strategies. Maya Bhagavati Bhuvi Bahunama Niketeshu Bahunama Bahuva Iti Pravasatam Devi. Bahunama Bahuva Iti Pabhasitam Bhati Bhavi Bahunama Niketeshu. Iti, in this way, Prabhasya, addressing Tam, Kamsa, Devi, the goddess Durga, Maya, Yoga Maya, Bhagavati, possessing immense power, like that of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhuvi, on the surface of the earth. Bahunama, of different names. Niketishu, in different places. Bahunama, different names. Bahuva, became. Ha, indeed. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. After speaking to Kamsa in this way, the goddess Durga, Yogamaya, appeared in different places, such as Varanasi, and became celebrated by different names, such as Annapurna, Durga, Kali, and Bhadra. Purport. The goddess Durga is celebrated in Calcutta as Kali, in Bombay as Mumba Devi, in Varanasi as Annapurna, in Cuttack as Bhadrakali, and in Ahmedabad as Bhadra. Thus, in different places, she is known by different names. Her devotees are known as Shaktas, or worshippers of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whereas worshippers of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself are called Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas are destined to return home back to Godhead in the spiritual world, whereas the Shaktas are destined to live within this material world to enjoy different types of material happiness. In the material world, the living entity must accept different types of bodies. Brahmayan Sarvabhutani Yantravidhani Mayaya, Bhagavad Gita 18:61. According to the living entity's desire, Yoga Maya or Maya, the goddess Durga gives him a particular type of body, which is mentioned as Yantra, a machine. But the living entities who are promoted to the spiritual world do not return to the prison house of a material body. Chaktva dehang punar janma naiti mame tasorjana. The words janma na eti indicate that these living entities remain in their original spiritual bodies to enjoy the company of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the transcendental abodes by Kunta and Vrindavan. Om Jnana Tamarandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksurum Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Mukham Krotu Vachalang Pangun Langai Tegurin Yat Kripa Tadaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarnam Vanchakalpa Tuyavyasya Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patit Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Giradhar Sivasri Gaur Bhaktaranda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare. So Kamsa must have been very surprised about this manifestation of Durga with all these weapons. Originally he had just picked up a child thinking he's going to kill the child, and all of a sudden it turns into Durga Devi, this powerful servant of Krishna. So he must have been pretty shocked about that. Actually, Kamsa, he was very Krishna conscious. He was actually always thinking of Krishna because he had this fear. This is another way to think of Krishna. Fear of God. So he was very fearful of Krishna. Very Krishna conscious. Of course, he wouldn't call him Bhakta Kamsa because he wasn't quite our type of Krishna conscious person. He was actually trying to kill Krishna. And here in the purport, it's mentioned that there's actually also in the translations that there's these shakas, or the worshippers of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then there's the demigods, also many of them are called sakama devotees, or materialistic devotees, material desires. Of course, we also have material desires, but the difference is we're trying to become free of our material desires. Whereas the sakas and the sakama devotees, they want to fulfill their material desires. Whereas we're trying to become free. Not an easy thing, but this is the difference. Srila Prabhupada says in one purport that there are two divisions of material consciousness, that I am the enjoyer and I'm the proprietor. But actually we're neither. We're not the enjoyer nor the proprietor. Of course, the living entity, the nature of the living entity is the eternality, knowledge, and bliss. So that's there. But we actually, the natural position of the living entity is to try to give pleasure to Krishna because he's the father of all living entities. And that's how we get pleasure. Not that we try to enjoy separately from Krishna, which is what most people are doing in this world. But the mind is very tricky. The mind will think, well, let me serve Krishna, and then I'll be happy. Then I could enjoy. By serving Krishna, then I could enjoy. Which is okay. In the Bhagavatam, it states, akama sarvakamo va moksha kamo dardi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purushampara. That whether one is full of material desires or has no material desires, if he worships the personality of Godhead, then he gets purified. Again, he attains the perfection of life. So however we approach Krishna, we'll get purified. Just like there's one story of one thief. He was in a village in India, and there was a Srimad Bhagavatam class going on, like we're having here. It was outside. And, you know, he was, although he was a thief, you know, he's all right, I mean, let me sit in and hear what this sadhu has to say. In India, even the thieves are a little pious, you know. So he thought, let me hear what they have to say. So in this Bhagavatam class, he heard that Krishna, he's in Vrindavan, and he has many jewels on his body. Very, very valuable jewels, priceless jewels on his body. So the thief started thinking, well, if I go to Vrindavan and I find Krishna and I get these jewels from Krishna, I'll be set for life. So after the Bhagavatam class ended, he had this idea. So he went to Vrindavan, wasn't that far away, and he's looking for Krishna. He's calling out, Krishna, Krishna, oh Krishna, 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 where are you, Krishna? He's calling out. And he's calling out like all day long, he's calling out for Krishna. And then he was calling out so sincerely that Krishna appeared. Yeah, yeah, I'm Krishna. Oh, you're Krishna. Krishna, you're so beautiful. You're so beautiful. Such nice jewels you have. You know, you're a child. You don't need these jewels. Can I have your jewels? No, no. I can't give you my jewels. My mother will be very upset. No, no, she has so many jewels. It's okay. You can give me your jewels. You're so beautiful without your jewels. You don't need these jewels. People put jewels on to look beautiful, but you're already beautiful. You don't need these jewels. No, my father will be also very upset if I give you these jewels. No, no, he also, so much wealth is there. So then he's trying to convince, he's trying to flatter Krishna. Yeah, trying to, flattery will get you everywhere, right? So he's trying to flatter Krishna to get these jewels. And finally, after trying to get these jewels, and he was chanting so much, and finally he said, Krishna, you know, I don't want your jewels anymore. Now I just want to serve you. So he got purified. So however we come in contact with Krishna, we get purified. So many living entities, they approach Krishna with ulterior motives. But if one stays in thinking of Krishna, then one gets purified. Akama sarvakamava. However we approach Krishna, we get purified. Srila Prabhupada, he was having a meeting with Dainupan. And you know, Dainupan, they were producing our books. And even by producing Srila Prabhupada's books, they get purified, because they're, you know, sometimes they're reading, you know, so they're getting purified. So he was with he was with the executives there, and they're having a big meeting, and the executives, the main executives, they got out to discuss the business transaction, and one of the lower executives, he stayed in the room. So Prabhupada looked at him. And he said, so, what is your goal in life? And the man, without saying anything, see, he was a lower executive, so they had the business cards there on the table. And he took, his business card was on the bottom. So he lifted all the other business cards, they put them on the side, he took his business card and he slapped it on the top, you know, just letting him know, this is my desire. So the living entities in this material world, they have so many material desires. But actually the goal of the human form of life is to become free of these material desires. And then we'll be satisfied. And however the living entity comes in contact with Krishna, they get purified. Just like this executive, he was there in the room with Prabhupada. They're very fortunate. Couldn't take advantage of the association, but still there's something there just by that being close to a pure devotee, being close to other devotees, and they get purified. Prabhupada actually said that the people, when the devotees go on sankirtan, book distribution, Prabhupada said just by their seeing a sankirtan devotee, they get purified, they get benefit. So it's therefore it's good that we go out and we go Harinam, we go on book distribution. You know, of course, we shouldn't think that, oh, they're going to get purified by seeing me. But this is Prabhupada's statement. So it's so important that we go out to the people, try to help them, give them the holy name, give them these transcendental literatures so they can benefit, so they can get purified. Yeah. The living entities has so many desires, so many material desires. Therefore, it's stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Ateva Shanta Bhukti Mukti Siddhikami Sakali Ashanta. The devotees of the Lord, they're very peaceful because they have no material desires. But those who have material desires, they have desires for mystic perfection, the Krishna Bhakti Nishkama Atyavashana Bhukti Mukti Siddhikami, have all these material desires, then they can't be satisfied, they can't be peaceful. So the goal is to be satisfied. The living entity wants to be satisfied. And that comes by service to Krishna. Just like in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's mentioned that Lord Shiva, not all the demigods are Sakama devotees. He's Vaishnavaramita Shambhu. He's a great devotee. And who else? Who else is a demigod that's a great devotee? Who else? Lord Brahma? Who else? Yajna? Narada Muni? Yamaraj also, yes. So many demigods are great devotees. But the Shakas, the followers, they're approaching, for instance, Lord Shiva. They approach Lord Shiva with material desires. They don't approach him for pure desire to serve Krishna. So it was mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam that Lord Shiva, he is a great devotee and he lives under a tree. He lives under a tree. But his devotees, they live very opulently. They worship him to get material opulence, and they live very opulently. You know, some of them have mansions and so much money. But the worshippers of Krishna, Krishna, he is very opulent. Vrindavan, it's Chintamani gems, there's kapha vriksha trees, and there's so much opulence. But his devotees are poverty stricken. They're not wealthy at all. Yeah. The six Goswamis, so many. Lord Jesus and so many, also Saint Francis, so many devotees, they're poverty stricken. So why is that? And it's explained that actually the devotees of Krishna, although they don't have anything materially, they're very rich spiritually. Yeah. Just like it's said that you'll find out how wealthy you are when you find out how many things you have that are very valuable that money can't buy. What is very, very valuable that money can't buy? Love. This is what everybody wants, right? Love. Everybody wants love, but you can't buy it. No. And the highest love is to have love for Krishna. Therefore it's stated, Prema dana manamya dridra jivan dasakari vitani mori deha prema dana. Lord Chaitanya said that if one does not have love for Krishna, then one is considered to be in a poverty stricken situation. He goes on to say, therefore, my dear Lord, please engage me in your service, and all I want in return is love for you. So this is actually the greatest wealth, is to have love for Krishna. Not an easy thing. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya says why it's not easy to attain love for Krishna. He gives two reasons. One is that he simply doesn't give it easily, because it's mentioned that he's conquered and overwhelmed by pure loving devotion. He's controlled by his devotee's love. So he's not going to be controlled by just anybody. You know, there actually has to be some very intense pure love there in order for him to, or pure desire to serve Krishna before he gives that. And the other reason, see if I can remember the other reason. what was it? No, it's he simply doesn't give it easily. Anybody remember? Anyway, it'll come. Maybe. So anyway, it's not an easy thing to attain this love for Krishna, but this is the goal of life. And actually, it's there. It's in the hearts of all the living entities. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajji Kavanoi Shravanari Sudhikuchi Kurya Yudhoi. That this love for Krishna is there in the hearts of all the living entities, and it's awoken by this Shravanam Kirtanam. Just like within this wood, there's fire coming from the sun. And if you put a match to this wood, the fire is going to come out. Right? But if this wood gets soaked with water and you try to light it, what's going to happen? Anybody know? Smoke. Smoke will come out. But if you keep that fire under this wet wood, then what's going to happen is eventually all that wetness, that dampness, it's going to dry up. And then the fire will come out. But the wetness has to become, it's got to be, you know, it's got to come out. So this love for Krishna is there in our hearts now. But now we kind of have like damp souls. Yeah. We're trying to get this love out, bring this fire of love for Krishna out, but still we have material desires. But if we continue chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, this love will come out. These material desires are going to dry up, and this pure love for Krishna will come out. This is the ultimate goal of life. There is no higher goal. And once we attain that, as Prabhupada says in the purport here at the end, he said one attains to the transcendental abode of Vaikuntha and Vrindavan. Yeah. So this is the goal. If we don't go back to the spiritual world, then we have to come back again into another material body. Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, this is the greatest fear of a devotee, is to again enter into the animal species of life. So here in the purport, Prabhupada mentions this verse, Ishvara sarvabhutanam hrida sarjunatistati brahmayan sarvabhutani yantravadhani maya. That Krishna says, I'm seated within the hearts of all living entities and I'm directing the wanderings of everyone who are seated as though on a machine made of the material energy. So Krishna is directing everyone. Just like the Sankirtan devotees here, we've all had the experience, I think, that you're on book distribution and someone's coming this way and you stop them and you speak to them and they're nice people and they take a book and give a donation and then they go back the same way. Yeah. I mean, generally, when they're walking this way, you know, they walk, they continue their stride going that way, but then they go back the same way they came. Or sometimes I've met people that, you know, I never go this way. And as I was walking this way, I'm thinking, why am I going this way? And then when we speak to them and they get a book, then they realize, oh, this is why I came this way, to get this book from you. So even they understand this transcendental activity of Sankirtan. So here in this verse also, Krishna, he says that the body, it's like a machine. The body is like a machine, and we're within this machine. It's like Prabhupada gives a nice example. He says, these glasses, they don't see. Right? The eyes are seen through the glasses. But you take that a step deeper, actually the eyes aren't seen. It's the soul seen through the eyes. Because if I or the soul were to leave this body right now, this body would just lay here limp, lifeless. Right? Would the eyes be able to see anything? Without the soul, the eyes can't see anything, can't hear anything, can't smell anything, nothing. Without the existence of the soul, the body is just a dead lump of matter. Right? So it's the soul which is moving the body, this machine. And this machine, it's actually an amazing creation. I was looking on the internet, just checking out different things about the body. Anybody know how many bones there are in this body? Any idea? He's exaggerating. 206. We all have 206 bones in our body. And there's about 25 in each of our hands and each of our feet, because the hands and the feet, they move the most, so they have to have most bones. And I was shocked to hear that when we're born, there's about 300 bones. But then as it grows, the bones merge in with other bones, I guess because it has to be flexible in order to come out of the womb. So the body has a frame, and that's the bones. And without these bones, it's just going to be a big, you know, it's just going to be a blob. It would just be a blob because we have this frame. We're able to move, all the other organs are able to move around. We're able to see and speak and hear, and we have a skull keeps the brain up there. So it's an amazing creation, the material body. And I was just reading, Prabhupada said that Krishna, he's very expert. He's the supreme expert. And to attain Krishna, we have to be extremely expert also. But expert at what? We have to become very expert at service to Krishna. Very expert at pleasing Krishna, serving Krishna. And generally we want to enjoy ourselves. But actually enjoyment comes, real enjoyment comes by giving pleasure to Krishna. This is how to actually enjoy. Just like the most amazing example of a devotee, of course, of devotees is the gopis. Krishna, there's one pastime where Krishna, he had this headache. And it's the headache pastime of Krishna. And he told Narada Muni, the only thing that's going to solve this problem, headache, is I need to get the dust from the feet of my devotees. So Narada Muni, he went to Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma, Krishna has a headache. He needs some dust from the devotees. If you're a devotee, please, can I get some dust from your feet? No way, I'm not going to give you dust from my feet. And he went to Lord Shiva, and he went to other devotees, and no one would do it. Why? I give Krishna the dust from my feet, and I'm going to go to hell. It would be a great offense. So then, he went to the gopis, and he explained the situation. Gopis, we need this dust from your feet. You know, Krishna has this headache. No problem. They immediately started scraping the dust off their feet. Here, take. And Narada Muni is like, "Oh, you're not a little uncomfortable about that? You know, putting the dust from your feet on the head of Krishna? You know, you're not afraid you're going to go to hell? You don't feel uncomfortable about that? No, not at all. Krishna's got a headache. He needs the dust from the devotees' feet. You know, we're considered devotees. All right, take, no problem. We just want Krishna to be free of his pain. Completely selfless." So this is a very, very elevated level of devotion. Complete selflessness. Which is possible. Actually, it's our natural condition to be completely selfless in our service to Krishna. And this is actually what attracts Krishna the most. Yeah. It's the selfless service. Krishna doesn't need service. He's called Atmaram. Self-satisfied. Doesn't need anything. But when he sees pure devotion, he's very attracted. It's like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He said, don't try to see God, but try to act in a way that God wants to see you. So then we have to find out, well, what is pleasing to God? Then we'll know, you know, if Krishna will want to see us. Of course, throughout the Bhagavad Gita, throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's mentioned what pleases God. And Srila Prabhupada said or one of the most important. He said, the summary of the entire Bhagavad Gita is in one verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Yat kroshi yat asnasi yat jahosi didasi yat tapasyasi kondi tat krusva marvana. So this is what's pleasing to you. All that we do, everything we do, should be done for Krishna. So then we find out from the Bhagavad Gita, from Srimad Bhagavatam, from devotees, from sadhus, we find out what is pleasing to Krishna. And we do that. Don't do anything else. If we do things that are pleasing to Krishna, he's attracted, he's pleased. All that we do, all that we eat, we should only eat food that has been offered to Krishna with devotion. Not that we just eat anything. I was just listening to Prabhupada in a lecture. Prabhupada said, my disciples, Americans, Europeans, they grew up eating meat. But now, if you offer them a hamburger in exchange for millions of dollars, I think they won't take. And I think it's true. I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, you know, no cause. You know, eating a hamburger is just, the thought is just so disgusting. You know? I mean, there might be some devotees that, well, you know, I'll use it in Krishna's service, you know. But I think most devotees would not even think twice. Just no way, forget it. So by this practice of Krishna consciousness, we become purified. We're not interested in material life anymore, in the so-called pleasures of this material world, because there's a higher pleasure. That pleasure is service. Actually, this is the highest pleasure that the soul can experience, is service to Krishna. So here in the purport, also Prabhupada mentions a very important verse, janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvana tatvadeham punarjam naitumam sarjana. That one who understands the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving his body, take his birth again in this material world. So the activities of Krishna are very special. And of course devotees are very special. And here we're hearing about these Shaktas and then the Vaishnavas. So the difference is the Vaishnavas, they want to give pleasure to Krishna. And in the spiritual world, they're so elevated, their only interest is in pleasing Krishna. And they're so elevated that Krishna covers them over with this energy called Yogamaya. Yogamaya is where they don't understand that Krishna is God. Therefore, they're able to play with Krishna and have wonderful pastimes with Krishna. So this is Yogamaya. And here, they're in Mahamaya. They're thinking they're this body, they're the enjoyer, they're the proprietor. You go to Vaikuntha, and they're in Aishwarya Maya. They think that Vishnu is supreme. But he's not supreme. Krishna's supreme. So practically everybody's in Maya. Some type of Maya. But there are pastimes in Krishna Leela. For instance, Devaki. Devaki and Vasudev. They were there at this wrestling event with Krishna. And Chanura and Mushtika. And he was the first ultimate fighter. He killed them. And then what did Kamsa do? Kamsa ordered him to be captured and to kill Vasudeva. And it just turned into a horrific scene. So what did Krishna jumped up there, pulled Kamsa down, and killed him. But what was his destiny? His destiny, he went back to Godhead. See, this is the kindness of Krishna. Anyone that Krishna kills, they go back to the spiritual world. So Devaki, when she saw this, she was like, whew, my son is not an ordinary son. I think he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Vasudeva was feeling the same way. So after he killed Kamsa and everyone was coming and they were congratulating Krishna for doing such wonderful feats, they couldn't embrace him. They were just like, they were in awe. Devaki and Vasudeva, they were in awe and reverence of Krishna. So that motherly, that fatherly affection, it wasn't there because the awe was there. So Krishna, see, they understood Krishna's God. They weren't in Maya. So then Krishna said, let me cover this up here. And then they went into Yoga Maya, and then they were able to embrace. So Krishna's in charge of all these different energies. Just like an electrician, he can use the electricity to make heat or cold. Right? So Krishna's like that. He can use his different energies in different ways according to his desire, according to the living entity's position also in devotional service or in bad consciousness. So we're trying to gain this Krishna consciousness so that we can dive into this nectar of Yogamaya. This is where the real life is. You know, this Yogamaya, complete love for Krishna. When I was in Mayapur, I heard a pastime of Krishna that I'd never heard before. And interesting, I heard it again just 2 months later. So when Krishna was in Vrindavan, Yasoda, she was so pleased with Radharani that she decided she wanted to give some presents to Radharani. So she had this big box filled with presents to give to Radharani. And Krishna, he heard about this. Krishna was there with his friends. And Krishna told his friends, why don't we take these presents out and I'll get in the box, and this way I can go to Radharani. And the cowherd boy said, yeah, yeah, that's a good idea. Let's do it. Yeah. So they took all the presents out. Krishna went in the box. And then shortly after that, Abhimanyu, the so-called husband of Radharani, he's walking by. Yasoda says, "Hey, Abhimanyu, please, I have these presents, this box of presents. I want you to bring them to Radharani. Can you bring them?" "Yeah, yeah, yeah, no problem." So he picks up this box and he's carrying it. He goes to his house, knocks on the door. "Radharani, Mother Yasoda has brought these presents for you. She's so pleased with you doing such nice service there. So here's some presents for you." "Oh, okay. All right, thank you." So they brought it in, and her shakyas are there, and Radharani told the shakyas, "You know, this box is a little unusual. I'm feeling the same way I feel when I'm around Krishna. When this box came in here, it's a mysterious box." So she told one of the sakyas, "Open this box. What's in there?" So the sakya opened the box, and Krishna's in the box. So they were all very happy to be in the association of Krishna, and Krishna in the association of Radharani. So I'll stop there. Any question or comments? Yes.
Yogamaya potency, they see Krishna as their child like that. But how does the Yogamaya potency work in Vaikuntha, where they see Lord Narayana as the Supreme Personality of Godhead?
Well, that's called Aishvarya Maya, not Yogamaya, Aishvarya Maya. They think that Vishnu is the Supreme. He is God. They see him as God, but they see him as the Supreme. They don't understand that actually Krishna is the Supreme. So that's the Maya, that they're not in Yoga Maya. They know Krishna, I mean Vishnu is God. But they don't understand that Krishna is Supreme over Vishnu. Any other question or comment? Yes, Prabhu. Bhakta Avatar.
Thank you, Vijay. Amazing class. Could you explain the difference between the type of liberation a pure devotee gets and the living entities that Krishna kills?
Well, when he killed, it's mentioned that when he killed Kamsa, that he went to Vaikuntha. So they don't go to this. Although Yasoda, she went to Vrindavan. Putana, she went to Goloka Vrindavan. She became one of the nurses there, kind of like a mother. So in different circumstances, there's different. They go different places according to to Krishna's mercy. Yeah. It's different. They don't all get the same destiny by being killed by Krishna. Amala Bhakta Maharaj has a comment here.
Just one note I wanted to add to what you just said. And some of them don't go to Vaikuntha or Goloka. Some of them go to the Brahma Jyoti. And they just merge there and sit there, which is actually a kind of hell. But it's peaceful hell. So they stay there for a while, but those who go to the Brahma Jyoti do not stay forever there. And they have to come back to this material world, as opposed to those who go to Vaikuntha and those who go to Goloka, yeah. They stay there forever. So there seems to be a little bit of a hierarchy, so to speak,
yeah.
Which Krishna, of course, designates accordingly.
Yeah. Somebody else had their hand up? Yeah. Last question.
You mentioned that there were two things that kept one from receiving prema. The other one may be nam aparad, including inattentive chanting.
I can't remember. it's not easy, and yeah, I can't remember. Sorry about that. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.